Many types of applications involve managing text to some degree, whether it be something as simple as a customer relationship management application where fields of data and notes are stored about customers and opportunities, or something a little more complex like a content management system where entire paragraphs of text and content are being saved and then displayed either in a blog or some sort of display system, web-based presentation type application. But mastering string manipulation is a vital skill. In this lesson, I'm going to demonstrate several common string manipulations that are made easy by the .NET Framework class library. All right, so as you can see on screen, I've already taken the liberty of creating a new project called Strings. Probably for the remainder of this series of lessons, I'm going to just assume that you know how to create new projects. I'll review the name that I called the project. You can pause the video to catch up with me. I'm also going to go ahead and set up the project just like I did here, where I have a button that I'm calling My Button, and I've changed the content to Click Me. I also have a text block control that I sized out fairly large, as you can see. I removed the text from the text property, and I set the text wrapping to Wrap. And I named it my text block. All right, so if you do that, you're caught up to me. Let's move on from there. If not, pause the video and make sure you follow along. So I'm going to double-click the Click Me button. I'm going to actually paste some code that I've already written into my button underscore click event. And so here we have a seemingly innocuous line of code where I'm trying to display a message to the user to go to your C drive, a common convention used to describe your drive. You use a backslash character. Well, as you can see, there's something a little bit odd about this. Visual Studio has placed a red squiggly line immediately after the backslash, and it gives us the message unrecognized escape sequence, which is kind of odd. I'm going to go ahead and try to run the application anyway, but it won't even let me start debugging the application. We have a compilation error. And the reason there's an error here is because the backslash character is used for an escape sequence within C Sharp. It has a special meaning. It is used to produce other special characters and special commands. So, to produce the desired result, what we need to do is use two backslashes, one right after the other. And so now, if we were to run the application, well, first of all, we get no more red squiggly, which is our first good indicator that this is going to work out well. And you can see now when I click the button, only a single backslash character is displayed. The double backslash is an escape character to faithfully produce a single backslash character within your string. And you might think that a bit odd, but you're going to see multiple uses for this. For example, let's comment out this line of code, and I'm going to actually paste in another line of code. Suppose, for example, that I want to place a double quote character within my C Sharp code, and I want to display that to the user. Now, a double quote character is a little bit tricky, right? Because that's what defines a literal string. So if I want to insert a double quote character, I'm going to have to figure out a way to do that without interrupting the full literal string that I want to produce. So to accomplish that, what I'm going to do is use a backslash and then a double quote character and then another backslash double quote character. And if I were to remove these, you can see that I would get some odd looking issues here and some even some errors where it's expecting the end of line. But when I put the backslash back in, it recognizes this as an entire string. Or rather, I'm sorry, got it on the wrong side there. I guess that's another indicator. There we go. All better. So let's run the application again. And you can see we've produced the double quote character. All right, just a couple more to drive this point home. What if I need to make a new line? Well, as you can see, I'm using the backslash n character. Let's see what it produces. We saw in a previous video how we were able to use system.environment.newline to inject a new line as we were iterating through a series of numbers with the, I think it was in the for video, the for loop video, but I can do the same thing by just using in C sharp the escape sequence backslash n. Okay, and so for more information, there's a nice succinct blog post. If you open up your browser, there's two ways I suppose you get to it. One is to just focus on this URL that's rather long, or in Bing, just search for this exact phrase, what character escape sequences are available, okay? Let's move on now and talk about string.format. We already talked about string.format previously when I was demonstrating another way to concatenate strings together without having to use the plus operator to concatenate two strings. We did something similar to this, right? Here, I'm just going to paste in another example. And actually, I'll grab this as well. And so here we have a string.format, and then I use these little replacement codes. Then, after that first string, I'm putting in a series of strings or variables or whatever I have that I intend to be replaced by the numbers that are represented here. Notice that it's zero based, so this is actually number zero, this is number one, and if we had additional ones, we could go the number two, number three, and so on. Alright, so if we run the application now, we can see a simple string concatenation using string.format. But string.format can do a lot more than just this. For example, we can use it to format lots of different types of numbers. In this case, let's do this. Let me comment this out and let's paste in another example. And let's run the application. Alright, so you can see that we're formatting into currency with a dollar sign and a period to denote, to differentiate the dollars from the cents. If we take a look here, we use this colon C. The colon indicates the type of format that we want to format our number that we have here in the replacement portion of our string.format, and C tells us the format type that we're going to choose. We're going to choose a currency format. Alright, so let's play with this a little bit, because there's several different formats that we can use. For example, and by the way, this will produce different results, the currency will, based on what country settings that you have set up in your phone. Alright, so it's intelligent enough to know if you're in the UK, it won't use a US dollar sign, for example. All right, so here is another example. I have a very large number. I just went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. And I'm using the N format character, which will represent this number with decimal points, with commas, to denote, I guess, a pretty large 1,234,000,000, and so on. All right, what if we wanted to represent just a number without any of those characters? Well, we can do that with the D format, which there's a number of options with the D that I'm not going to demonstrate. It's actually more flexible than what I'm about to show you here, and I'll give you some information on where to look at that. But if you just need a simple representation and you don't want to do a two string on it like we demonstrated before, you can use the D format. Let's take a look at how to represent a percentage. And so I'm using the P format. In fact, I see a little problem there. Okay, good. And now notice that I'm using a decimal, 0.127, and I'm going to run the application and click me, and it comes out to 12.70%. It multiplied the number by 100 and then also applied the percentage sign after it. Now, what if we need to format a series of numbers into a string, such as a phone number or a social security number? Well, you can create custom formats yourself as well, not just rely on the ones that are pre-built for us, using the pound sign to represent the next number in the sequence. So again, let me paste this in. And so you can see that I have a fairly complex format string here. And here you can see the zero. Again, that's going to be representative of the first parameter in the sequence of input parameters into this little method. And then I'm using a series of pound signs to further format this number to get it to look like a phone number. So let's run it and see if this indeed works the way we intend. And it sort of does. Looks like I've got a small mistake in my code here. All right, let me run that again. There we go. I just didn't have enough numbers, so it pulled it from the right to the left, and so we didn't have enough to fill in at the in the area code portion. Okay, but that seems easy enough, and so we could change this up to make it look like any type of long number with dashes and parentheses, however we need to format it to make it look correctly. But that's a pretty useful little tool. Let me show you again. Let me open up Internet Explorer and give you a URL. You can use Bing and just search for the string.format method. Make sure the result is pulling from MSDN. But there is quite a lengthy listing here that explains more about how to use string.format to get the results that you need in your strings. Also, as you can see, I used some of these additional links in the note for understanding more about custom numeric format strings and then the standard numeric format strings. So this is a great jumping off point to learn more about a wide variety of formatting options for your strings as well using string.format. Okay, all right, so let's move on now. Let me paste in some code here. All right, so this time we're using a for loop. And I'm just going to run it first to see what this does. And you can see it fills up that text block at the bottom going from 0 to 99. All right, so let's just take a quick look at what's going on here. We have a for loop where I is initially set to 0, and while I is less than 100, then continue to iterate through the code block below it, just like we saw in that for loop iteration statement video from day one. So what I'm doing is using a plus equal operator here, which is basically saying take whatever's in string and then append to that whatever's on this side to the right of that operator. It's roughly the equivalent of doing this. I was just able to avoid, or I guess I need to add this part in too, right? I was able to avoid doing this part by including the plus equals, all right? But to a larger issue here, while this works in small applications, there is a small issue with doing this sort of thing. When a string is declared and initialized, it takes up a fixed area of the computer's, or in this case, the phone's memory. So when you concatenate the string and reassign it to contain a new value, there's some behind-the-scenes work that the .NET runtime has to do to create a new space in memory large enough to hold the new length of the string. So if you're working with a lot of strings and string concatenation, as we're doing in this example, then this could impact the performance or at the very least cause our application to consume more resources than it should to do this little dance where it creates a new memory place, grabs the old string, concatenates a new string, and then moves it into the new memory space. And it has to do that, in this case, 100 times. So it's generally preferred in this scenario to use an object that's built to handle concatenation tasks. And in that case, we're talking about the string builder. So what I'm going to do right here is rewrite this example. To begin with, actually, I'm going to comment out that line of code, and I'm going to type in string builder. Now, we're going to talk about namespaces and classes a little bit later in day two. But for right now, the problem is that Visual Studio doesn't recognize string builder because it's not aware of the namespace that it belongs to. For right now, all we're going to do is just walkthrough, and I'm going to explain how to accomplish this. Then later on, I'll explain why this is even happening to us, okay? But I'm going to hold down the control key on my keyboard, and then I'm going to hold down the period key on my keyboard until we get this little helper menu that pops up underneath String Builder. And it says using system.txt, and I'm just going to go ahead, since it's selected already, I could use my arrow keys to move around here, but I'm just going to make sure that top option is selected, and then I'm going to hit the return key on my keyboard. So again, that's hold down the control key, hit the period to see the little menu pop open, and then select the using system.txt in this case. And when we do that, notice that the text under String Builder changed from black to an aqua color blue. So again, we're going to come back to this, but just walk through this with me for the time being. And we'll do this a couple more times. But I'm creating a new instance of the String Builder. And the String Builder is built for concatenation tasks. It won't require a behind the scenes little dance where it creates a second space in memory and then has to copy everything over plus concatenate the new value and then keep doing that over and over. It manages the memory a little bit more efficiently for large concatenation tasks like we're undertaking here. All right, so then in this case, what we'll simply do is do something like this. My string dot append, and then my string dot append. Okay. Now, at the very bottom here, we're no longer working with a simple string. We're working with a String Builder object. So we're going to have to convert this to a string. Fortunately, almost every object in the .NET framework has a toString method, just like we saw that the integer did back in day one. So all I have to do here is do a .toString, and we can see the red squiggly line goes away. We should be ready to go. I'm going to save and then run the application. Now the end result here is going to be identical to what we did before. But behind the scenes, we're using a more efficient way to work with the strings with the String Builder object. Okay. All right, so that's generally the preferred way to work when we have a lot of string concatenation tasks ahead of us. All right, so let's move on and look at one last set of examples here. I'm actually going to comment out all of this, and then let's move on. Finally, I want to look at how to work with some of the built-in string methods. So let's begin with a simple example. I'm going to copy another example here and paste it in. All right, so I start off with a fixed literal string. It's better to be lucky than good. Notice that I have some spaces on the end of this. I did that intentionally. We'll explain why in just a little bit. So the first method that I wanted to use was substring. And let me just retype this part because I wanted to show you that there are a number of different options available, like split starts with substring, moving down, to upper, to lower, trim, trim end, trim start, and others that I'm kind of intentionally avoiding here. We'll look at length in a moment. But there's a number of different things that we can do with strings, functions of string, of the string data type that we're able to get for free because we're working with strings. And some of them are very useful, and they allow us to cut stuff off the end of a string, cut things off the beginning of a string and grab only what's in the middle of the string, trim off empty spaces like we have here, get the total length of the string. And there's reasons why we would want to do all of this, and I'm going to try and demonstrate some of those right now. But anyway, let's get back to the substring example. Let's suppose that I only want to pull a couple of characters from this string. So I'm going to use the substring method, and I'm going to actually choose the starting index, which would be 5, and then I want to choose the total length, which will be 12. So if I run this example and click me, I just pulled out better to be and left everything else alone. I didn't I chose not to display that. And so I start off with my string, I call the substring method and pass in the parameters to find just those pieces of text that I want to display and assign that back to my string. So you can kind kind of see the little game that I played there with the variable. And then I wanted to display that. I could actually get rid of that right there for now. All right. So that's one thing that we can do with string manipulation. Let's do something else. What if we wanted to turn all the characters to uppercase characters? All right, and you can see now that we turned a mixed case string into a complete uppercase string. And this is particularly useful when comparing what a user has entered to a list of potential values, like in a switch statement, for example. You can either do a two upper or a two lower to ensure that the values are the same, even if the user capitalized content differently than what you may have expected. And I do this often in my applications. Okay, so let's stop that and move on. What if we wanted to replace all of the of some character or a series of characters with another series of characters? Here, let me paste in another quick example. And here what we're going to do is replace all of the just blank spaces and replace them with a double dash. So now let's run the application. And you can see that everywhere there was a space character, there's now two dashes. So the replace method of the string would allow us to do that. And this comes in handy many times whenever I'm trying to massage data from one source and save it into a different target source. And I need to manipulate the way that the data is formatted. I use replace a lot. Again, it may not seem so obvious to you at this point why that's necessary. Just make sure you understand that you don't have to write a lot of code and look through every single character. The .NET Framework class library has functions for you to do things to manipulate your strings. All right, and so in this last example, I want to show you kind of two ideas in one. Okay. So here we're using a string.format, and I have two replacement characters, 0 and 1. First of all, I want to display the length of the string before I trim it and then grab the length. In fact, I might need to do that, yeah. A little bit of a problem there in my code, but I need to put that there. Okay, sorry about that. But at any rate, notice that I'm grabbing the length before I call trim. And here I'm calling trim and then getting the length, and we'll display that inside of the replacement character 1. Now, it's important to note here that I am chaining methods and properties together. I can continue to call additional things like substring at this point, and I could call something else here if I wanted to, starts with, and so on. So that is a nice feature of the .NET framework, and I'm going to demonstrate a little bit more about that in the next lesson. But for now, let's just see how this works. The main point of trim is to remove any trailing or preceding empty spaces, so that if the user accidentally hits the space button on their keyboard while they're typing in, you're not saving all that extra junk into, or evaluating it when you're comparing two strings. Okay, so it's usually nice to clean up whatever the user's entered. So you can see the length beforehand was 36 characters, but after we called trim, it was only 34 characters. All right. So I think that pretty much wraps up what I wanted to talk about on this discussion of string manipulation. You can see that these are but a smattering of all the possible string manipulations. There was a long list in the IntelliSense that popped up. However, this short list should serve you pretty well. These are the ones that I use most often. And I would encourage you, before you go off and start writing a lot of lines of code to work with strings, take a few moments and review the methods of the string class. Chances are there's already a method or two that can help you, or at least at the very least speed you along your way as you're trying to manipulate strings that are input by users or that you're opening from files and things of that nature. Okay, so thanks. We'll see you in the next video.